doing in the immediate.
Yes.
Okay, and send Ranjan Selwayana. Ranjan Selwayana. You can't get through it, right? Ranjan Selwayana. I also panda rang gom gab to send Lamnik, but she took years some good of the type she used some good of. Okay. So not so easy, although its nature is clear light, not so easy just to directly see it. Because using, going back to that analogy of the rice in the husk, or the another analogy they use is a precious Buddha image but wrapped in dirty cloth, that the obscurations of the afflictive emotions have been there since beginningless time. So it's not, you have to really clearly see the nature of the mind, you have to be eliminating them. However, while to completely kind of clear away the afflictive emotion is not an easy matter, there are many instances where when we're like meditating on compassion or love or other meditations, where for a kind of a short period of time we have a, I don't know what you'd say, see that or sense that clear and light nature of the mind. Okay. Any other questions?
Oh, that's really quite interesting, because you do wonder sometimes when you to meditate on some subjects and you get that clarity. But it goes, like, but you just have those moments, don't you?
Sometimes like gom gyab to, that's the same selva, yeah. Nyongsa, yon cigarette, you know, during Udegama. Yes, yes, those moments will come.
She said, "Want to give it away? Cause seven to put down to give it
away." Yes. She said, "Why?" She said, "So likewise, at the time of death, then that's a time when that clear light mind can manifest."
But the day that did that, could it be changed to get want to give it away? But then by chitane, you give it to the chitane, because you give it to the past self, my own, your own.
Okay. So that So those moments arise under the power of conditions, not because you've completely cleared away what is obscuring. And so therefore, for example, when you take birth again and other conditions arise, then the afflictive emotion is present again. Are we going to continue with mind and mental practice? Okay, so then in chat 26 you've got doubt, and so the doubt that they're talking about in this mental factor is not the general doubt that we may experience, but specifically about aspects like the Four Noble Truths or action and effect, whether they're past lives or not. So of the afflictive emotions, it is said that doubt is one of the easier ones to abandon in terms of the stages of abandoning it, whereas abandoning hatred or ignorance is more difficult. So doubt is something that is abandoned on the path of seeing. So when you generate the power of increase the power of your wisdom that realizes emptiness to the point where you get a direct perception of emptiness, at that point you abandon doubt. So then afflicted view relates to our grasping at true existence, grasping at permanence.
See, Geshe-la, can I just go back to doubt? Is there a fine line between doubt and asking questions?
Okay.
Because if you ask a question, you must have some
doubts.
Okay.
Te sum dan triwa. Nā tō pēnā, sōsō triwa de chui go triwa tēnā, te sum yu yu kariwa.
The question arises from doubt. Actually, doubt, okay, to see the our wisdom realize emptiness, So that first there that mental is doubt, and then slowly they become
Okay, so they have a kind of a conceptual idea that accords with emptiness.
Yeah, you see, in terms of doubt, there's three different doubts. For example,
three different.
For example, object is metaphora.
Impermanence.
If something or whatever object, our life, you know, our life is actually impermanent. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if we have doubt, our life is impermanent or as I
permanent.
Impermanent and permanent, but or maybe permanent. If this kind of doubt is lowest.
So, example is, for example, our lifespan. And we think, is it permanent or impermanent? And if you're tending towards permanent, it's a doubt that tends to not concord with the meaning or the object.
And that has it for Mrs. Tapayana Mida, Pets and Mitabayan Sara Savannah, that it turned to you. That it is kind of Topa turned to that it pa that turned to the Tanya to one or not to.
And then someone else may have a doubt about whether this life is permanent or impermanent and then starts to think, well, it's probably impermanent. And so then they would have a doubt with accords with the meaning, and so it's getting closer to actually understanding the object.
Okay.
Okay, so then you can have a doubt which is equal, and just thinking, is kind of our lifespan permanent or impermanent? And generally it's a progression in terms of understanding the object, that you would begin with a doubt that is probably not concordant with the meaning, and then you would think kind of equally it is maybe permanent, maybe not, and then in accordance with the meaning of the object, doubt that it's probably impermanent, and then one would think and about it and understand it in terms of using reasoning and understanding it, and then coming to an understanding that actually concords with the meaning, that the understanding becomes stable in accordance with the meaning. So when you have that kind of stable understanding that concords with the meaning, then as you increase the power of that, you come to the point where you get a direct perception. So, for example, with the nature of phenomena, you would begin with this thought, is a phenomena truly existent or not? And probably tending towards saying they're truly existent, and then go to maybe they are, maybe they're not. And tending to think, well, that the doubt of that they're probably not truly existent, developing a stable understanding, going through the stages of meditation, of calm abiding, penetrative insight, and eventually your direct perception. That this time when we are thinking about our phenomena truly existent or inherently existent or not, and thinking, kind of reflecting on that and coming to the thought, the doubt that probably they are not truly existent. They say that in itself is a tremendously important understanding. Yes, that's right. So in the 400 verses, it says that doubt that tends to the truth that phenomena lack inherent existence is like it. Now I've done this word before. You know, when sunlight degenerates cloth, you know, like it's kind of not to the point of disintegration, but it weakens cloth from the ultraviolet rays of light. That doubt is what it affects the cyclic existence in that same way as sunlight on cloth will.
It weakens
the actual nature, breaks down the actual structure of the cloth, and we do have a word for it, like it's not degenerate, but
degrades
the actual nature of cyclic existence, like sun on cloth, even that doubt. So that doubt tending towards thinking that things lack true existence harms the ignorance that obscures our mind. Okay, is that clear?
Thank you.
Can I ask a question about the afflictive view? So we said it's any incorrect view, but we also say the same for ignorance. Are there any differences between these two?
Okay, power dhamma rigpa kipa.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Okay, so in terms of this view, which is an afflicted view in this list, if it is this afflicted view, it will be an ignorance. But if it is ignorance, it is not necessarily afflicted view, because there is an aspect of ignorance which merely obscures, whereas the view is on one, taking one object, where an object of wisdom, and grasping it as truly existent.
For example, it's like this, you see, the dark place, there is a rock, you know, there is a rock, you know, rock, the rock, but you can't see very well.
That's right.
So that is the monsamimaiva.
And so that's just the ignorance that obscures, that merely obscures, that kind of, that is the analogy for the ignorance that merely obscures.
Yeah, and then later you exaggerated that is maybe a snake, you know. You think that is snake,
Okay. And then, not seeing well, you exaggerate on the rope that it's a snake. And that seeing it as a snake is the analogy for grasping at true existence or grasping itself, and that's the view.
Okay.
That's the analogy for the view.
Right. So is that obscuration from karma?
Monsam de lene chungurvis. Not from karma. Mere obscuration is simply the not knowing.
Okay.
대선 디스 타와 타와시
타와시 송게도
베르다 타와 지단 다다데레 지 타와데레 야 타와 나시 기브란 가시고
오케이 So then if you go into details on the afflicted view, they have five different types.
Do you need a pen? Are you looking for it? No, you're right.
Yeah. Good. Chitta pena, chitta se, chitta se adhata. Tadena yeme kuna te,
chitta
se, chitta, chitta se tata nando, ranju, chitta se, chitta se, chitta se, chitta se.
So on the back of this paper, on the top left-hand corner, you've got the five afflicted views. One is view of the transitory collection, which is your mental physical aggregates, that on that collection you grasp as truly existent, I and mine. Okay, so this view is... relates to one's own continuum, and you're grasping at the true existence of I in relationship to your own continuum, and that would be the root of cyclic existence. And it acts as a basis for all other afflictive emotion to arise.
Sorry. Is that the personality level I, or the soul level I from a Western perspective?
Well, it's, I mean, if you grasp at the sense of your I being a permanent, unchanging self, then it would also include that. If any kāyansi nāyāsō inji lūkso de kānsak, ego de kānsak ki rīgyōrua, then there's same trouble de soul. And so it's any members, you know, that's kind of like you know, or not, you know. Ego, ego is more like a concept, isn't it?
Well, it's
a concept.
Sort of more the personality level, the, you know, what clothes we wear, what we yeah. wear, and what we do.
The soul is different. Yeah. The soul travel. The dembats of digda de tongwa ni dembat roba de tongwa chibores. There's also trawa de sol najin ni dembat roba de yes.
Yule
de you know ni samba nga samba nga ona be samba.
Leta chitati.
Hmm.
Ikore la se wata. Ta kanji ta ji ti khali asna. Te ta ta ma ta ji phumbo ti ten ti ten e ko ke te la me ti ten te la me ne ko te ba tu ba ti de lo chi te.
Hmm.
Thank you. Yeah.
So it's simply whether it's at a grosser or subtler level, it is that grasping as I as being a permanent, truly existent person. Yeah. But if you when you go into detail, then you would say there are grosser and subtler aspects of it. So then the next view is that holding to an extreme. So that's either an extreme of permanence or an extreme of nihilism. The kind of the extreme of thinking that the self is completely permanent or eternal is sometimes a term they use for it, or totally non-existent, like nihilism. It's really non-existent.
Lokta.
And then the last one on the list, perverse view, is like the thinking that there is no past and future lives or no action and effect. Okay. And the one in the middle, conception of a bad view is supreme. This is like, for example, views that were held often, well, bad view is supreme. Examples from previous. There was a view that if you threw yourself on a trident, you would attain liberation. Or there was someone in the past stories where they met a teacher who said, if you kill 1,000 people, then you will attain liberation. So views also that, like, of harming sentient beings would bring spiritual attainment. So that's holding examples of holding bad view as supreme. So conception of bad ethics and modes of conduct as supreme, like, so thinking that a bad ethical practice or bad conduct is supreme, a good thing to do. What do you want to do, the 11 virtuous factors or the 20 secondary afflictions? You get to choose. Virtuous factor. Okay. So that's on the other page. Faith is at the top. Okay, so faith, you have three types. You have clear faith, convictional faith, and admiration. Admirational faith. Okay, so clear faith is like simply seeing the qualities of others, like seeing the qualities of the bodhisattvas or the Buddhas and generating a faith. Okay. So then convictional faith is like a faith that is seeing the truth of something based on a reason. For example, seeing that karma and afflictive emotion will bring the arisal of the truth of suffering. And so your conviction in that would be based on reasoning as a convictional faith. And then admirational faith is like an aspiration to attain qualities.
chita tepa ta gawa se de la tabu tabu yare wa tepa ta gawa ni le mushik se yare
so you can faith and liking are very similar and they can do what they call these pervasions where you can see when things are both either or neither, four ways of seeing the things that are the same, either or and neither. So does that clarify? Okay, so for example, with a lama, when one sees, the example of a lama or teacher, that one sees qualities in it, they have qualities, and you see them, and you have both faith and liking, that would be. And then, like family or children or your partner that you like, but that's not having faith. That's not faith. That's liking, but not faith. And then faith would be, that is not liking, would be like an example where you talked about reusing reasoning, like seeing from karma and afflictive emotion the truth of suffering arises, or using reasoning to think about emptiness and this generating faith in emptiness, but it's not liking. Yeah, and then lots of examples of things that would be neither. So that the next mental factor is often translated as shame, which I do not like, and I think it's more like personal conscience. What it means is, on the basis of one's own reasons relating to oneself, one refrains from kind of misconduct or wrong action. So it would be like thinking, if I did that, that's not okay in terms of one's own self, for one's own self, and so you refrain from it. And then the next one that, again, often... Not so, I think they've moved away from this embarrassment. You find it more translation as consideration, specifically consideration of others, where on the basis of other people, you would refrain from an action, thinking that that would be not okay from other people's perspective, so you refrain. So that of these two positive virtuous mental factors, their opposing factor, which is lack of personal consciousness, lack of consideration of others, fall in the 20 secondary afflictive emotions, and most afflictive emotion is accompanied by them, like for example becoming angry with others, then often automatically a lack of conscience and a lack of consideration of others arises, or jealous of others, so they're often associated with other afflictive emotions. Machapa. Machapa.
Machapa said it, Machapa said it, Machapa. ずっと離れた方が道でこれこれ、
うん、
で、マシャバイブロマンっていうのは、
yeah, so, non-attachment、not having attachment to an object, it's not this generic non, it doesn't mean everything other than attachment, it's specifically a mental factor which is non-attachment.
Mm. Mm.
Okay, so then non-hatred. So for both non-attachment and non-hatred, that you have the arisal of virtuous roots. Okay, then non-ignorance. So non-ignorance is not the same as wisdom. Okay. So non-ignorance is simply the absence of the mere obscuration. Going back to that point about ignorance being merely obscured. So non-ignorance is that absence of being merely obscured. So that we generate these like non-ignorance, non-hatred, non-attachment. It's not something that we have continuously, but we generate them again and again.
Tsundru.
So effort or joyous effort, this is finding joy in virtue, joy in positive actions. Okay, so then, so the opposite of joyous effort is laziness. And so laziness would fall within the 20 secondary afflictive emotions. And as we've talked about previously, there's three aspects to laziness. There's the laziness of despising oneself, laziness of attraction to bad actions, and laziness of procrastination.
Describing effort a bit more around, sometimes effort is not joyous, but it's effort that brings results, so...
Okay. Tsundru gives the... well, joyous effort, I mean, the thing is, that's just a trans... the joyous, whether it's joyous or not, it generally depends on the translator. Because the Tibetan word is always tsundru for Karyans in a joy and virtue. The tsundru gewe troa kya the tseniroa. Yeah, so the definition of joy of effort, tsundru, is finding joy and virtue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
So also three laziness.
Yeah.
So it's not. Yeah. Hang on, just to clarify one thing. Tsundru de jigdengi shawa ge tsundru manwa.
So
that the word for the ordinary effort for the things that are other than virtue, just out the effort we put in for ordinary activities, is tsulwa. It's different. In Tibetan, it's different. Although it would be translated the same in English.
Yes.
So this effort of tsundra is specifically for your virtue of your spiritual practice, right, as opposed to the effort you put in every day.
Yeah.
Which is maybe why they put in the joyous, so that it differentiates, because you have joyous, sometimes they use perseverance, and joyous perseverance. Okay, but for the ordinary everyday effort, as well as the effort in spiritual practice, virtue, the opposing factor would still be laziness. So even for your everyday effort for things, you would have the laziness of procrastination and the laziness of despising yourself.
And what's the third one?
The third one is the laziness of attraction to bad activities.
So that's seen as laziness.
It's a form of laziness.
Form of laziness.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Laziness is quite different.
Virtuous is more effort to be obtained.
Yes.
And
virtuous.
Joyous
virtuous. Yeah. Yeah. The Komsadi Lelonana. Lelonana, you're yeah, they're good to death. Yes, so this attraction or familiarity with bad activities falls in the form of laziness.
Mm.
Mm. So it's laziness from the more from the perspective of being undisciplined. Is that kind of laziness rather than just a can't be bothered laziness?
Well, can't be bothered would probably be laziness of procrastination, where you're putting it off. And then the chishugi lalo tearing chigamari sani jema.
Chishugi le kreya.
Yeah, so
procrastination. Chishugi le tri shasha, tri le le de sani.
Yeah.
Sani le tu sen kreya, but chishugi le.
So procrastination is like saying, oh, today I'm going to take it easy, I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and you're something else to do, and then it's tomorrow. So all the time putting it off. So with ordinary activities, the thing that antidotes your laziness and procrastination is knowing that if you let it go, you may not be able to do what you need to do. But with Dharma practice, the antidote to laziness and procrastination is cultivating the awareness of impermanence, and the great qualities of freedom and endowment we have as a human.
Dan
shombi lelo de that's bopa that dog shong ruis. Bopa. Shombi lelo. The tsundru dog shong ruis bopa.
Shombi lelo le tada kasanga. Shombi lelo ge yimbo la tere ta. Bopa kia tere. Shombi lelo ta taji nga go kasan taji te nga kike de shoma se. Taji nga go ota nye thubu mare, nye shubu mare se acha. Tade shombi lelo roa.
So.
Te yimbo la ta bopa kia kwa roa.
So laziness of despising oneself is that thought, oh, I can't do this, I'm not able to do this. And so the opposing factor to that is generating self-confidence. Yeah, so by remembering, for example, that whatever being there is, that being has the potential to attain Buddhahood, it has the potential to attain liberation, to attain Buddhahood, that their mind is in the nature of all phenomena. Like we talked about this morning.
Can I ask a question? You've got this laziness of attraction to bad activities. sometimes you think you're doing good activities, but they're not the activity that would be the best activity. So, you might end up, you know what I mean?
Can you give me an example?
Okay, so you might go and help a friend, but really, you've left your house in a big mess and you know that, I'm not talking about my own. and you know that, you know, everything's going to fall apart at home because everything's,
right.
Kids are going to go crazy and that, but you don't really think about it too much at the time.
Okay, shall I answer you a little bit? Something else was a bit of Robert. Mwishe wala roba tigris, ina nan dabo ma gyabda. Nan dabo ma gyabda, pugu kali kabo yongre na, yongto nana nasu yongre. Dene susu, shawa di demdu, de des norson nanshin. De shawa ngenshe gil lelo tigris.
Ati tigri, shawa tan nangye tabo jaya maja, di shoto ya shirwa. Ati sura shirwa tat.
Did you think it's so what about it? They turned around my okay, so that would be laziness in relationship to, it would be like the progress no she should get a little did like a short drawer. Nine double my gamma. She should get a little in a little shawang yin shi gi lino.
Shawang lang yin.
Maybe that's more laziness of procrastination because you're putting off taking responsibility in the house.
Could be.
But it would still fall within it's not contradictory for something to be a attraction to bad activity and procrastination. Yeah, they're not contradictory.
You think like it's an emergency or that person really needs you or something, so you have to go there, but then you kind of know that you need to do stuff for your own self. It might not even be housework, it might just mean quiet time, it might just mean meditating and stuff, but you feel like you should go and
Is it more to do with your view and the attitude though? Like if you go in with the intention of helping others, knowing that you are going to leave a mess at home, but you've got that generating the wish to be of service rather than actually thinking, well, I'm procrastinating, I'm a bad person.
One of the things we have to figure out is whether we're talking about a general worldly activity, in which case we're not talking about laziness and joyous effort in terms of your spiritual practice.
Yeah.
Or whether you're talking about it really as an issue of spiritual practice.
But doesn't everything overlap anyway? Because if you get too tired, you can't do your spiritual practice. So if you go, so self-care in the terms of even going to sleep and, is part of this. You have to do that so that your mind doesn't get too crazy because you're burnt out.
Okay. Did you meet the Lila for this? Guys, in the morning, so damo ma gavin fina de yabu ni ma kuna da mesu ma gavna. Sanzala, so nyam len che matu wa namanato.
That is true. That is. Always we have to, when you're tired, you have to rest.
Mm.
There's advice that you have to rest when you're tired. If when you're doing practice, every day, when you're tired, you have to rest. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't rest, continue going, you can get more hard.
So there is an advice that you must actually take rest when you need that, and if you're even when you're doing practice, when you get tired, you put it down and you take your rest, because otherwise it just becomes more and more difficult. And Sundunana Rig Dechik Mesajabwadinana Sundu. So it's actually a classification of joyous effort.
Rest.
To rest.
Yes.
One question. Yes, I mean, let's take a Nicole's example there. The way that I see another aspect is more like the people probably overestimate their own energy.
Yeah.
So they went out to look after others rather than themselves. So in that case, would it be that more relevant to the ignorance that we not knowing that we have a limitation of our time and energy rather than the joyous efforts?
The Sanzana Mijambala Robachewa, the Soso, the Nua, Tugina Mina, that's Monde Yurisigus, the Sanzana Gyachewa Chitugius, the Norsong, the Nazo, the Marigbegi Kun, Sundrigi Kun, Mari Norigbegi Kun,
Norway. Oh, yeah, that's Marigbegi, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fault of ignorance.
So that's why, if you're going to help others, you have to think which way is better, you know?
Yeah.
Which way, how, or you know? So always with wisdom is good, you know? Better not just go, you know?
Yeah, so you think about what you're going to do before you take it up.
Yeah.
And
sometimes, you know, if we help other people, but you don't see the, you know, and then later, like trouble, yeah.
Yeah, so you're trying to help someone, but you're not kind of seeing the situation clearly, then after that, other problems come.
You see, one of the reasons why we don't see enthusiasm here?
Oh, it's effort. Sometimes effort's translated various ways of enthusiasm, effort, joyous effort, perseverance.
Yeah.
Enthusiastic perseverance.
Because sometimes enthusiasm could cause more problems than...
Well, you'd have to go to the definition being joy and virtue.
True.
Gai Angie la enthusiasm sansan la yina de mong ba de yours de la de so so shug yap yina de sherb she de mendos. Yeah. So I said yes.
If joyous effort is joyous.
Yeah.
Why would one avoid it?
Or, okay.
You know,
is there a fear of that kind of
That's a good question. But Kevola,
So finding joy in virtue is really having a liking for virtue. So maybe Yesla's not quite sure whether.
You see that if the joyous effort meaning is if the joyous effort meaning is if you do that effort, always there is a joyous. Then why do we not continue?
That is
a very good question.
It's almost a contradiction, isn't it, to say that effort is joyous.
But here the
Yeah.
I mean, there's a saying, there's a well-known saying.
The joyous effect means, joyous effect means neutrality. He said, it means joyous true effort, something like that.
Joy to effort.
Joy to effort.
You find joy to put it, it makes joy to actually put the effort in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you actually have a liking of creation, of virtue. Tanganso mag gewa la trowa machewa gigimzin makomsa da makowa marigpa.
So that
if the point is that putting in effort one would automatically experience joy, then of course why would you stop? But it's more that the joy is directed towards liking to create the joy is the attraction or the liking for actual the virtue, rather than simply being happy about it. Does that help?
Because there's that saying that's attributed to Martin Luther King, which is it's not the darkness that we're afraid of, it's our light.
Right.
When I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with my study, writing, it's incredibly joyous and just flows. But I spend most of my time avoiding that.
Right.
And I don't know
why.
Because when I'm actually doing it and in that flow, it is incredibly joyous.
Yeah.
And the effort is almost effortless, even though I'm working really hard.
Yeah.
But I actually spend much more effort, which is incredibly despairing, and what's that word there? Despising word.
Yeah.
I put much more effort into that.
Okay.
And I don't understand why. It's really annoying.
The that you think you shower or have more ideas, love you to do the song. When it achieved some keyboard and yamu that they could lay a lot of to a yinan keyboard and yamu yinatan do to mambo this short door let change shishigi lelo nage and they run chigmari then lego run chigmari then the gimsen carrion gimsen hammer go a carrion sinner chidu some keyboard and yamu yinan. You're talking about the same people. Tang yinang de machewa gigun shit a silver mendo.
So I can't hit Tom's.
Yeah, they're in a more and the machewa gig. They're more and yam sembu yin kang kibudo. Yabudu do kibudo. In kibu yinatan? Shish. So it's really like a laziness of procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She should be little nation roa. They do not run much over there. Then a day comes she be warm.
It's like a little bit more like the self destruction of the doubt, not having faith also in your own.
Could be like the shoes of fear of
succeeding, things like that.
Why? What
happened?
Sometimes
a hugeness
is just too scary to handle sometimes,
so
I think
you
just have to keep
dipping
into it and
while it's difficult to say what the reason is, we kind of guess and I talk. It's kind of cure. We don't know. But there's like a laziness, a procrastination, and probably the most one of the strongest factors is just familiarity with that kind of pattern of procrastination.
But I like the idea of focusing on the joyous effort. I think that if I can keep that in mind, that it is actually a joyous effort.
But is it like, because I know like with artists, that some people who do art, that and they enjoy it, but they like to get other things done first.
Mm.
So it's more like, you know, like you know you've got this creative ability within you to allow it to flow, but you've got all this practical stuff that needs doing. So you know.
But also, it's the same kind of question that Nicole was asking, that you might be able to instantly tap into it when you want it.
Mm.
And quite often that kind of creativity comes when it wants to, not when you want it to.
Right.
So maybe, I suspect the answer is probably to do lots more meditation.
You already got the answer.
Curses. Siete. Som tu vargi. Si ya vos en de gomda semla selva chena semgi. Yogi tawa. Chena. Tapsi tu de ro.
Somba de la.
Somba ya vo yoma. Yeah, so I don't know whether meditation is the best cause for composition. So you like writing of books? Yeah, that's on you. So the thing is overcoming, it's as we talked before, overcoming procrastination and cultivating that sense of being able to do. Xinjiang. Okay, so then the next one, of pliancy, or sometimes translated as blissful pliancy, can be physical or mental. In the case of this being a mental factor, you're talking about the mental pliancy. So mental pliancy is like when you're developing concentration and you come to a point where your mind is very serviceable, you're able to place it on the object, it's very pliant, usable.
So
physical pliancy is like a feeling. Contact. So it comes out of your meditation, and if you're looking at those nine stages of calm abiding, it's an experience that arises in the eighth and ninth stages. So it's not an easy thing to do.
Does the physical pliancy come from meditation as well at times? Because I feel
Lugi Shinshan Gomne Gomgya du Lugi Shinshan Yon Siguru. Yes. So when when for someone with high realization and they have abandoned the afflicted aspects of the body, then the body becomes very light and serviceable, able to use in whatever way they want. That's a high, high realization. Bhayupa. So conscientiousness is very important. So, lack of conscientiousness is like not worrying about whatever goes on in your mind or whatever you're doing. You have no kind of conscientiousness about your physical and mental activities. So conscientiousness is like a basis for a basis for ethics, a basis for restraint from misconduct, wrong action. I see. So conscientiousness is really the great basis for ethics. So, for example, in these times of So in these days, ethical practices are said to be very important, whether they're the ethics of abandoning the 10 non-virtues or the ethics of ethical practices of a householder, all of these things. And their basis is conscientiousness. So then equanimity is the equanimity, the factor of equanimity that one has in the eighth and ninth mental stage, where it is an equanimity of So this factor of equanimity is a factor one uses in the eighth and ninth stage of meditation, because in the earlier stages you have to rely on your introspection and check on the mind whether distraction, excitement, distraction or laxity is arising. But when you get to that higher level of the eighth and ninth stage, if you keep on checking, you will actually create an obstacle for your meditation and your concentration. And so at that point you have to use this factor of equanimity.
So sorry, how many stages are there?
There's stages of developing calm abiding, and there are 9. Then in number mitsewa.
Number mitsewa. Number mitsewa. Then number mitsewa. Say that. Na. That jinji to the tikun to. Number. Shela nothing.
So non-harmfulness is abandoning harming others, so this associates with compassion. Okay, so compassion is a mental factor, and in terms of the 11 virtuous mental factors that would fall within this, mental, be associated with this mental factor of non-harmfulness. Okay, so today we're not going to be able to go into the 20 secondary afflictive emotions, but because there's 20, that's all. But we'll do them at a later time. But the main point with studying these different aspects of the mind and the afflictive emotions is that on a daily basis, because you know what the different mental factors are, you can check what is arising in your mind. Is your mind in a virtuous state? Is it an afflicted state? And in seeing what's there, then you can do something to overcome it. Because otherwise, if you don't identify what's there, or you don't, you can't. If you don't know what is arising in your mind, you don't have an understanding, then it will continue to cause you suffering and just keep on going. Whereas if you know it's an afflictive emotion, then you can do something to overcome it.
Yeah, actually. Say like this. With somebody always with you, but he always harm you, but you don't know he's harming me, and then always suffering us. So like this, our mind, always creating problem ourselves, So we don't know how this mind's coming, how this mind's arising, and how they harm if we don't check and don't try to avoid them, then always we're suffering. So that's why understanding that these mental factors are important. Is there a question?
I have a question about meditation, and I'm just wondering, when we do joint meditation, or whether we're on our own, whether it's best to have meditation that's absolutely quiet so that we can concentrate the mind to one single point, or whether we have guided meditation where that could help us maintain our focus on one single point, or doesn't it matter?
So is that in terms of like a on your own following a guide, or like following a book instruction, or just in the group giving a verbal instruction, or
both.
Okay.
Or a little tape, like if you've got
a tape
or something on your MP3 that you plug in your ears that you listen mm-hmm. to, or if it's in a group.
Okay. Gom gyabwe kab bena soso chigbo yina mingba kar yina de grats ene mewa de labja mina de gom gyab na yawores de bena dip la gomrim la tagi yina de amcho la tip la nyendu gomrim la bigina de kan yakares dan mi nyamdu gomdu mi gilche de kajistani mache yakares de gomrim la shena yapodo
gomrim pora yena yakro stan gomdu deplo gomda ne pa shisam tisi yakache ana gomya gomya shi iti yawoyo
So to understand the stages of the meditation is important, whether that's by first reading a book and being clear about what you're reflecting on, and then being clear, being certain about the different stages of the meditation, and then doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise you just don't ever otherwise you without sound, you do some meditation, but if you don't have an object, then your mind always going there, you can't catch up, can't find anything.
So if your object's not clear, then even you sit in silence, your mind will run all over the place because it's not clear about what you focus on.
Yeah, as we talked before that, meditation, something have to generate the mindfulness. Right? Mindfulness needs something object, If you don't have object, there's nothing
to be mindful of.
There's nothing mindfulness.
Mm.
And then you're just thinking other things, mind is always going out. You go with your mind outside, body is here and your physical is receiving like meditating.
The mind's off.
Could we have a thing within 9 stages of meditation?
Fischler has explained it, but we can bound to do it again sometime.
So would a meditation be to just if you wanted just the stillness is to meditate on your in your clear, light mind.
So just as a quiet, to quiet the mind.
Contemplation or.
Ma chena ina sim ranchen uselwa chipo mikpa chena.
Sim ranchen ala mikpa chini chikom jatan shiata yarwa.
So there is a method for meditating on the clear light nature of the mind, but it's still not an easy thing to actually identify your object.
Could you lead us in that, Gisha? Could we even try?
Yes, same you right here, Selva did. Geshla kozo nyamdu gom gyab tugres geshla karasas gomrim la
sum tubi. Is that why the meditation on the deity is like a Buddha? You're meditating on that image, but that's your mind, your
inner nature. Right. Okay. Tene tavishin ibadeng tena ngatso lhla gomwa yorwa. Lhla di ngatso sem gyurajan Mungirwa. Semgi Ranjan, the Mungirwa Ranjan, the Kyun Meba.
Okay.
the sub-mansion release of this. In front of yourself, like meditating on the deity in front of yourself. Ranjan, the Kyun Meba Pawa, the La Nanshin, show you the that's drawed away. Okay. So when you're thinking that because the deity represents the pure mind by meditating on it, but you don't have a trouble so identifying the object.
Yeah, so it's a focus.
Mm.
But it's right. Still you're still meditating on your own that you've got that.
Now so same you so well I but you do make you lela woman in the sla lagi kesh de sem kun meba carlos yun den ganga dan sem kun meba ke namwarwa then megu la megu norma so
megu la suna
yeah megu la yen suna megu de sem ge kun meba na jin gin nambare megu ma norwa
ka yen sen and
Megu di simba yina so zo semgi ranjan e se woria megu le la bo mendos ina la simba yina di megu se wo
ta megu ta la chine komya ta wa korvate te te is le la yina yina la megu ta la suya ki megu di ma mi chik ta koya ta ma chik ta ga yina ta 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 ta
so yes that and that the deity represents those qualities, but at the same time you cultivate the practice by you would look at all the characteristics of the deity in a tanka or a statue or something so that you get the complete object appearing.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole de Hengo Migbala Gemma maybe, or not today, but maybe another day, during my Yimba Gemma, Sengi Ranjan Usawa Geshla Gontala Suntu Kudwe.
Yeah, maybe.
We can do. Yeah, so that practice of recognizing the clear nature of the mind links to the Mahamudra practice. So we can talk about it sometime. Because we're meditating on the nature of the mind.
Because you know, it's hard to decide what you're doing when you think there's emptiness, there's no form.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it that comes through when you have a Tara or a Buddha that's...
Okay. Tani da, zu me singi na yin na, sla shagiri, sangi shagiri.
That's right. Is it there's, in Hakstra there's a no form, no... No, that always there's a confusion, you know. So no form, no sound, no... All this, what they're saying in the Heart Sutra is, you know,
Okay, so that when in the Heart Sutra it's saying there's no form, no sound, etc., what they're talking about is someone who's in a meditative equipoise, focused just on emptiness and have refuted all their objects of refutation, and in that focus then form will not appear, sound will not appear.
La dembar me pasu ko la la dendu kape kape tonga mega thela nyamra shayenu ko la la sharku marwa la shayenu ko marwa.
So to use the example of the deity, so the form of the deity is a conventional truth. But the nature of the deity is this lack of inherent existence. And if you were focusing on the lack of inherent existence of the deity, then the form of the deity would not appear to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's saying, so when the Heart Sutra is saying, when you are meditating on emptiness, and that's the very nature of your meditation, then form, sound, etc. will not appear. But it's not saying that whatever meditation you do, there is no form, no sound. So in general, when we're meditating on the form of the deity, we're not meditating on emptiness.
But then if you have a bodhisattva,
mm-hmm.
what is it that's actually being reborn?
Tene janchu semba kewa lendu, kari kewa lendu, the ngō kewa lendu sugi ngō kari yun sugi.
What?
So the clear light nature of the mind is not saying that there is no mind. So, for example, the bodhisattva will meditate on emptiness at death time, but that doesn't mean they become non-existent. The same Rajan said, what did you machepa? So the clear light nature of the mind continues. It's not, it's lacking an inherent existence, but it's not non-existent.
Is that like what they mean when they're saying the unborn, the uncreated, the unoriginated sort of thing? Like it's just there.
Oh,
or is it just a holding topic?
The makewa da magapa da diri karyan.
Makewa da magapa da diri kentamar makewa.
So not created, not ceasing. This is saying that it is, there is no ultimate creation, no ultimately existent ceasing, no ultimate existence cessation.
Thank you.
So like one energy? I know energy is hard to describe. Sorry, I won't ask the question. It's just a very, very interesting question.
It is a very interesting question, but if you get into one energy, yeah. It gets a little, little tricky because it's a whole different worldview.
And another time, yeah.
Yeah, no. So I can't even think of a Tibetan word that would.
No, but maybe there isn't a word. Maybe it doesn't have to be a word. It's more of just a.
Well. Oh,
maybe it
God.
Can't be put into a word.
I'd end up saying to you, what do you mean by one energy?
Yeah.
What are you implying by one energy?
Oh, we don't want to talk about this now, it's
going to
be too long.
Okay.
But another time.
Yeah, Geshla will be back. Geshla will be back.